From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 31st day of January 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel, the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, there is a move in Washington to expand the market for ethanol by mandating an increase in flex fuel vehicles and financing infrastructure upgrades. And USDA has rolled out a new round of the CRP sign-up in hopes of keeping the number of acres in the conservation program close to the 30 million acre cap. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later in the half hour. And then I'll tell you why it might be time to think about enrolling in the ACRE program, if you haven't done so already. The decision isn't due until June, but you should sharpen the pencil now. And don't forget, in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day higher. Nearby contract in the wheat at 15 higher, 840 and three quarters for the March for the soft red. May at 870 and three quarters, up 15 and a quarter. In July at $8.89 and a half, up 14 and three quarters. Hard red lead option March at $9.24 and three quarters, 12 and three quarters higher. March corn futures, 659 and a half, up 15 and one half. May at 670, 15 and a half higher. July at 675, up 15 and a quarter. And December corn at $5.91, up 14 and three quarters. March beans at $14.13 a bushel, 15 cents higher. May at $14.23 and a quarter, up 15. July at $14.28 and a half, up 15. And November beans at $13.41, 18 cents a bushel higher. March bean meal at $3.80.30, up $3.30. March bean oil at $57.88, up 61 on the afternoon. February live cattle at $108.95, $1.45 higher. April at $114 and a nickel, up $1.27 and a half. And the March feeders at $128 even, $1.77 and a half higher there. Lean hog futures at $87.25, $1.50 higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from Urbana-Champaign. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures at $92.19 a barrel, up $2.85. Ethanol at $2.33, up 2 6/10 of a cent, that is. Heating oil at $2.74 6/10, a nickel and 6/10 higher. That's diesel fuel. And the gold futures today at $1,333.80 an ounce, $6.90 lower. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now at 11,853, just about 30 points higher. The dollar at 77.7 is down 0.39 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for Urbana-Champaign tonight. Periods of snow, some sleet, snow and sleet accumulation up to an inch. Ice accumulation of less than a quarter of an inch. Lows around 19 degrees tonight. Northeast winds around 15 miles an hour, though. Gust as high as 25. The chance of precipitation across the area, 95%. Tomorrow, snow, sleet, and freezing rain in the morning. And then snow and sleet and a chance of freezing rain again in the afternoon. Snow and a sleet accumulation tomorrow between 3 and 5 inches. Ice accumulation up to a quarter of an inch. Highs in the mid-20s tomorrow, windy. Northeast winds at 25 to 30 miles an hour. The chance of precip at 100% for tomorrow during the day. On Tuesday night, windy, snow, chance of sleet and freezing rain in the evening. Then snow after midnight, areas of blowing snow through the night. Significant snowfall accumulation is possible. Ice accumulation of less than a quarter of an inch again. Lows around 20. Northeast winds at 25 to 30 miles an hour. They'll gust to 40. The chance of precip at 100% on Tuesday night. And on Wednesday, windy. Snow in the morning. Snow likely in the afternoon. Areas of blowing snow. Light snow accumulation possible. Highs in the 20s. It'll be windy again. 20 to 25 miles an hour. Gusting to 35. More on the weather when we get to the bottom of this half hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
It is a Monday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. On the phone line with us to take a look at the commodity futures markets, Kurt Kimmel, the senior analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
I'm ready to take all your work home with you. I guess you can keep track a little bit while you're there, can't you?
Yeah, we're set up to trade from home, but, too, I live in town, so I got a halfway chance to get back here in the office. I know Pete lives out of town, and he's already booked a motel room. He picked the motel. It's got the buffet special, so he's really set up good. I might go stay with him.
Oh, that's funny. Well, there are lots of things that are happening, and you need to stay tuned with us because, of course, there are not only things in the trade that are happening, but Dave Dickey and I both have a couple, and you folks have a couple of ag panels that are scheduled for the week. I've got one scheduled tomorrow in Lincoln. I have my doubts that it'll happen, but we'll wait and see whether the weathermen are really right, and the snow and the ice really pummels us over the next 24 hours. If they're close to right, even close to right, we won't be doing that. But as of this point, that's still on. And then as we look into the marketplace, Kurt, we have lots of things that are happening, including the weather, which drives in part the livestock market. And then we have Egypt and what's been happening in the overseas, well, nation-building kinds of things, I suppose.
Yeah, there's a ton of things going on. It's too bad the weather's messing up your meeting this week, because there's just a ton of things to talk about and watch, and it's going to create some dynamic market action for some time to come. But basically, this is a livestock trader's weather market. These happen every once in a while. The biggest thing I noticed is that the retail guys got wind of this snowstorm and ordered up to as much as 50% of normal inventory, had the extra inventory, because, as you know, the grocery shelves are going to be tested here real quick. And so we took a lot of meat out of the pipeline, and now the question is how soon will things clear up to bring fresh supplies into the packers' hands here. And also, too, the frigid weather. Man, it's going to slow movement down, and it's going to increase feed consumption. And for guys that's trying to have some calves, that's going to be a real difficult task here.
Yeah, winter weather storm is really tough on the livestock sector. You get snow and cold and transportation issues, water issues. Weight gain goes down because the animals are using so much of the content, the fiber, the protein that they're consuming to simply produce heat. And it's a difficult situation, and this is a big storm.
Yeah, it's supposed to be historic, and I remember the late 70s quite well, because that's when I was in high school and in college, and we had snow days for that lasted three or four days there for a while, and some of the older guys can talk about the 60s and on back. So we'll see if this measure ups to some of those historic events in the past.
At this time on this afternoon here in Champaign, when I walked in the studio, not more than, I don't know, about 20 minutes ago, and that would have been just before 2 o'clock Central Time, it had just started to spit, but I can see through a series of windows to the outside at this point, and the snow is falling heavily now. How about there in Bloomington?
Yeah, it's been getting right with the program here for about the last half hour. They could say this event can produce anywhere from 2 to 3 inches per hour, so sounds like it's going to add up fairly quickly.
Tell me about the outside influences in the marketplace. What drove wheat higher? Was it Egypt? I saw some headlines on that, or is it just the fact that there's this big snowstorm, or a combination of all kinds of things?
It's quite a few things, and everyone sort of talks their position, and they find a key item to hit on. But the idea is that Egypt will be back in the wheat market. You know, there's talk of port closings and maybe slow down in movement, but the idea that they haven't ruled them out completely, and the and that they're working on trying to stabilize the emotions there is a big positive. But probably the biggest thing is, outside of that, is the weather in China. It continues to be extremely dry in their top two producing areas there, and that's a concern in that area. Then, too, the Australian situation still remains in the air there. So I think that it was this combination of things that gave confidence for buyers to come back in the wheat market. Now the key is whether or not we can move on higher and make new highs here in the next few days or not.
You think that's in the offing?
Well, I think wheat's going to take it backstage. I think the corn and beans probably will be the leader here. We're higher on the monthly closes here today, so that sort of keeps the uptrend intact. And we're up against some short-term resistance levels here. If we could poke through that, I think the trade might be a little bit more excited about gathering inventory on corn and beans versus wheat.
Yeah, the corn market was really, I think, impressive by comparison to wheat and to soybeans. They were all up 15 cents, but when you have them all up 15 cents, and corn is the one that is the cheapest in price in general, that means a lot, I would think.
Yes, encouraging here. We were basically looking at the momentum indicators rolling over. Today's market action gives a little fresh breath of life. Technically hanging in there. Fundamentally, this weather event lasts for a few days in here should be supportive to the marketplace.
What's coming up that is important in your eyes? It's February now, the month, well, it will be, starting this evening with the trading session. That'll be the first trading session of February. It's the month to set crop insurance prices.
Yeah, it's a historic event. A lot of producers use that program as a help with their risk management, and it's very important to make sure this market holds together at these price levels, because basically this is one of the best starts ever. And with the high inputs and so forth, it'd be a big plus to hold together here at least for a month. There were some ideas, though, that we could go back to the old seasonal tendency and see some type of February low. Last year, we made a little low in the first week of February, and we firmed up after that. But as a whole, we feel the market's going to hold together here during the month until we get in a little closer to the March Planning Intentions Report, due to the fact that trade is very uneasy with how this acreage is going to unfold, and that we need to have some type of premium in the marketplace until we get a handle on acres and a handle on spring weather.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Kurt, for being with us this afternoon. Safe travels and getting back and forth to the office place.
Very good. Take care.
All right. Thank you. That's Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on this Monday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
A couple of notes. Be sure to visit our website at willag.org and check out those ag panels to see whether they're on or off. We'll put canceled up there if they're not going to happen, or we'll move the dates around, one of the two. And, of course, you can listen to us anytime you'd like on the radio stations. Tomorrow afternoon, I'll make sure to tell you whether the Tuesday night event in Lincoln is happening or not. Now, here's Dave Dickey with today's Agricultural Newscast.
In agricultural news, a group of senators led by Senator Tom Harkin, a Democrat from Iowa, have introduced legislation that would expand the market for ethanol by mandating an increase in the number of flex fuel-capable vehicles manufactured in the United States. It also would establish a requirement that every major fuel distributor install at least one blender pump at an increasing number of the refining stations which they own or through which they market. The legislation also would provide up to 80% U.S. government loan guarantees for the construction of renewable fuel pipelines and government grants to retail fueling stations to help the owners buy blender pumps, tanks, and associated equipment. USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack says that the agency plans to enroll 4 million acres in the Conservation Reserve Program to replace acres scheduled to leave CRP next fall. The 2008 Farm Bill capped CRP at 32 million acres. USDA is announcing its second consecutive general sign-up to keep that acreage as close to the cap as possible, as contracts on anywhere from 3.3 million to 6.5 million acres are scheduled to expire each year until 2014, including about 4.4 million acres next September. South Korea's ambassador to the United States has rebuffed Senate Finance Committee Chairman Max Baucus's demand for Seoul to commit to talks on fully opening its market to U.S. beef. Baucus believes South Korea unjustifiably restricts imports of beef from older cattle because of concern about mad cow disease. South Korean officials say the issue of removing the remaining mad cow disease-related restrictions is still too sensitive because of intense public opposition. Less than 5% of U.S. beef trade is affected by South Korea's remaining curbs. Exxon says net income grew 53% in the fourth quarter as oil prices rose and the company increased production. The largest publicly traded oil company today reported earnings of $9.25 billion, or $1.85 per share, the highest since its record profit of $14.8 billion in the third quarter of 2008. Revenue increased 17% to $105 billion. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and of Commodity Week. Be sure to visit our website at willag.org and stay up to date on all of our ag panels, including several this week. Some of them have been canceled. Others have not. The one for tomorrow night, Tuesday, in Lincoln, still on, but of course that's subject to the weather and more likely off than on. We'll tell you tomorrow for sure, one way or the other, whether we'll be in Logan County tomorrow evening, along with Dan Zwicker and Jackie Vakes and Gary Schnitke. He's a crop insurance specialist and farm management specialist here on campus at the U of I. Speaking of government programs, the price of commodities, as you probably already know, may offer farmers in the Midwest another opportunity to enroll in the USDA's ACRE program. I'll have more on why it might be worth pushing the pencil. The average price of crop insurance in the state of Illinois could be up by as much as 70% over last year. Gary Schnitke from the University of Illinois has been running the numbers.
What we did was we calculated revenue protection policies this year using a 570 projected price and a 0.33 volatility. Compared that to CRC premium last year, and yeah, it will be on average 70% higher than last year. So that will cause some sticker shock, but again, you're insuring more revenue this year than last year because of the higher base prices.
That sticker shock won't be the only different thing about crop insurance for 2011. The products have changed too. CRC and RA, with the harvest price option, have been merged into RP, or revenue protection. It's a farm-level crop insurance product that makes payments when revenue falls below a revenue guarantee. Like CRC, RP's guarantee can increase if harvest prices set during the month of October for corn and soybeans are above projected prices set during the month of February. Schnitke explains how that would work on a 400-acre enterprise unit.
Enterprise unit on an RP policy, Southern Illinois, for an 80% protection level, will be paying in the high 20s dollar range. Central Illinois will be teens, or, you know, $13 to $20 range. And Western Illinois will be $20 to $25 range for an 80% RP policy at an enterprise unit level.
Crop insurance premiums will be higher in 2011, with much of the increase due to higher projected prices and higher volatilities. Those will both be set in the month of February. While higher priced, Gary Schnitke says farmers will find crop insurance advantageous. That's because the higher projected commodity prices will allow more projected revenue to be insured. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. Time to check the cash grain markets. On the line with us from the Andersons, from right here in Champaign County, Jenny Springer. Good afternoon to you, Jenny.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Farmers trying to get in before all the snow shows up and make some deliveries to you?
Yeah, we saw some activity here this morning. I think things have kind of died off. We are seeing some snow, but I really don't think the roads are bad yet. But guys have started to kind of tidy stuff up for the day.
You know, as you look back over the last couple of weeks, prices have ratcheted up. Have producers been rewarding the market, or are they still tight holders?
Producers have been rewarding as far as the old crop is concerned, you know, just still inching up those sales, you know, on what they've got left either here in DP or on the farm. They have started some more new crop sales as far as, you know, getting up towards that $6 mark. I think guys were waiting for it to break through, you know, that 575 to 580 level before they put some more futures on, and I think they have rewarded the market in doing some of that.
Based on their sales only for new crop corn and soybeans, are they more bullish corn or soybeans?
You know, I don't know that I could pick one or the other. I mean, they're really holding off on both. You know, waiting, I think somewhere around that 1350 level is going to be, you know, a key selling point for them. But, you know, a lot of guys, I think, are trying to wait until we get into this February, you know, pricing time window for crop insurance before they really start to price a whole lot.
Two more questions for you. The first one is, what are your bids for the day?
Cash corn, we are 649. New corn, we are 556. Cash beans, 1394. And new beans, 1306.
Then the other question is fairly simple. I'm wondering if you've had much discussion there in the office space about the kinds of problems that a big snowstorm creates for moving crop and corn, soybeans, wheat across to the Midwest.
Well, we've just been talking a little bit. I know as far as for our facility here, we're going to be closed tomorrow. I know some of the Decatur facilities are going to be closed. But, you know, to get, you know, on a bigger picture, that grain's going to stop. Guys aren't going to be willing to test the roads if they're slick or there's a lot of snow on the ground. So, you know, as far as processors who are, you know, needing as much corn right now as they can get, it's really going to, you know, their supplies are going to get a little tight.
Jenny, thanks so much.
Thanks.
Have a good afternoon. Jenny Springer is with the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. Be safe out there while the snow is falling and potentially the ice is coming around. And if you're wanting to go to one of our Ag panels, there are two of them this week. Be sure to check our website at willag.org and listen to us on the air. We'll make sure you know whether those panels are on or off. The one tomorrow night, February 1st, in Lincoln is still on. I'll give you more complete details tomorrow during the program as to whether that will continue to be the case or not. Back in 2 minutes with the agricultural weather forecast.
It's National Brandy Alexander Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1893, the Coca-Cola trademark was recorded. 2 years later, it was sold in every state and territory in the U.S. In 1908, Carl von Voigt died, a German physiologist. His work on metabolism helped establish modern nutritional science. Von Voigt made the first determination of the amount of fat, protein, and carbohydrate broken down by the body, as well as founded the study of metabolic activity as a guide to disease. In 1930, Scotch tape was developed by Richard Drew of the 3M Company. In 1980, Due to record high sugar prices, Coca-Cola began substituting high fructose corn syrup for half of the sucrose used in Coca-Cola. In 1990, the first McDonald's restaurant in Moscow, Russia was opened after 13 years of negotiations and an investment of $50 million. McDonald's built an entirely independent Russian organization with its own farms to supply potatoes for its French fries. In 1991, the average U.S. food prices were these. White bread was 71 cents. Grade A large eggs were $1.10 a dozen. Milk sold for $2.76 per gallon. Chicken was 89 cents a pound. And ground beef was $1.65 a pound. And in 2001, Germany announced plans to destroy 400,000 cattle due to mad cow disease. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. On the phone line with us to take a look at the weather forecast is John Davis of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. I'm going to skip the agricultural part of that weather forecast, John, because I think we'll spend all the time talking about what's happening right here in the Midwest.
That's the exciting stuff, Todd.
Yeah, that is the exciting stuff. Is it going to be as bad as, well, most people are saying?
Yeah, this is, well, for the Chicago area and points just south of Chicago, this will likely be the biggest snowstorm that we've had since January 1st of 1999. And so it looks like we'll get in the range of, you know, 14 to 18 inches of snow. But that's only one part of the story, is that the winds with this will be extremely strong by Tuesday night and Wednesday. So, you know, in rural areas, you're talking about total whiteout conditions with a situation like this. And again, the main portion of this storm is going to be beginning Tuesday late afternoon, evening, go through Tuesday night and Wednesday up until about mid-afternoon. So most of tomorrow is fine. The problem is going to be tomorrow late afternoon through midday on Wednesday, and Wednesday morning is going to be a total whiteout. You know, blizzard conditions across most of northern Illinois.
And then if you go a little further south, you get down here 2 hours south of Chicago to Champaign-Urbana, to Springfield area. Are we under the same sorts of problems and time frames?
Well, problems, but different kind of problems.
Ice.
You know, down there you get the ice component.
Yeah, nice. Ice is nice, baby.
No, ice is the worst. But, you know, you'll have ice and starting out as sleet and freezing rain. So you have a glaze, and then on top of that glaze, then you get snow on top of that. So you don't get the accumulations that you would for the north, because it's going to start out as this ice mixture and a glaze. But certainly from a travel standpoint and logistics agriculturally, you're talking about major problems down there as well.
And when do we start? We start that tonight instead of tomorrow, or does that come heavily on
Tuesday
night? Well,
there's two bands here, and so the appetizer, if you will, of this system is going to be coming up right now through tonight, and that's just some little light snow across the region, a couple of inches. The main aspect of this storm, the main course, if you will, is starting tomorrow afternoon, Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, and that's when the bulk of the precipitation and by far the worst conditions are. The height of the storm would be Tuesday night.
Oh, well,
from a wind and from a precipitation standpoint, both.
Take a big bite of the appetizer and head into the main course.
You're darn right. And when the appetizer's done, the storm is not done. It's just barely getting going.
you know what the good thing is for us is that we get ice. That means we don't get the snow that blows later. Because it'll all be packed down and
absolutely. And then the dessert is extremely cold weather coming in behind it.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Glad you could help us out today. Okay. Well, thank you so much for the forecast. Good luck up there, and we'll stay safe down here too. Okay.
Absolutely.
Hey, thanks, John.
Take care, Todd.
John Davis is with Chesapeake Energy. He's in Chicago, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. On a Monday afternoon, it's going to be ugly on this evening for us, and then Tuesday looks like the worst of it, and Wednesday is not going to be so great. Whiteouts if you're in the northern part of the state, and then, well, it just gets darn cold. You stay safe if you can. Stay inside and make appropriate plans. I'm Todd Gleason.